All right, Rabbosai, a good mayid, good morning. Let us begin. So begin by thanking all of our sponsors. So thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Tishrei. Jerry and Sarah Wolaski for dedicating all the Shurim and Drushals this month at the Zechus for Rafua Shleima, for Zechariah Dolb and Peril Shira, Shani and Avram Kelman in memory of their beloved parents and in memory and in Zechus of all those who need a Rafua Shleima. Dr. Linda Weinberg, loving memory of her husband of 53 years, Peretz Moshe ben Avram, Leah Sol, as a schus for a fushlema for her daughter, Ilana Bas Esther. Our week of learning sponsors, Ira Grossman, on the occasion of the 12th anniversary of his father's Ptira, Melech Ben Azriel. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Nesham will have an Aliyah. Valerie Asipov, as a schus for a fushlema for Ivrina Bas Brilliant. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of those who require fushlema together with Kol Chole Yisrael, all of the Nesham have an Aliyah, and the families in a chamar. So with that, let us begin. We have a lot to do today, and a little bit of a shorter time frame for today. That's on me. But the merit of Shem, we're gonna accomplish what we have to accomplish. Today's daf is Nun Aleph 51. We are picking up on Nun Aleph Beis 50B at the Mishnah. Mekadesh Isha Ubita. A man is Mekadesh a woman and her daughter. May O Isha Vachos, or ultimately a woman and her sister, Ke'achos. That will say, in this case over here, what he's doing is he's literally betrothing both of these women. He's mekadesh both of these women at the same exact moment, at the same time. So what's talacha? Eino mekudashos. Ultimately, it doesn't work. They are not betrothed. So again, we'll say, obviously, both of these cases, these are illegal marriages. Right? So ultimately, again, because he's mekadesh them at the same time, so ultimately the kiddushin does not work. So there was a story of once a group of five women, and within that group of five women, there were two sisters. And a man collected a basket of figs. Okay, so we'll see exactly why the Mishnah is including all of this information. So the information is as follows. There was a group of five women. In that group of five women, there were two sisters. The two sisters happened to own the field in which everyone was standing. A man came along, collected a basket of figs. The figs came from the field owned by the two sisters, but it was a Shemitah year. As a result of being a Shemitah year, therefore what? All of the produce was Hefker. So therefore, again, a man had the ability to acquire the produce. Vamer, and he said, Hare kulchem mekudshos li bekalkala zu. And what did he do? He went over to the five women. He said, all of you are mekudeshes to me with the basket. In other words, not with the basket. Obviously, he means with the dates in the basket. V'kibla achas min hadei kulon. One of the women accepted it on behalf of the group. V'amru chacham, the chacham said, ein achayos mekudshos. And the chacham said, the sisters are not betrothed. Now, of course, the inference from this is, the other women in the group are betrothed. So again, we'll discuss the parameters of that case again more explicitly inside the Gemara itself. But Lamaisa, again, the sisters themselves are not betrothed, says the Gemara. I mean, Hani Mili. We'll say, from where do we know this? Now, we're focusing now on the first statement of the Mishnah, that if a man goes over to a mother and a daughter, or to two sisters, and tries to betroth them both at once, the betrothal of the Kiddushin is not good. From where do we know this? So Amar, Torah says, a woman and her sister, you should not take them, litzrar, to make them co-wives. In other words, you can't marry a woman and her sister. HaTorah amra b'shah shenas utzaros zulazu, lo yuhu lekuchem afilu ba'achas, man. Torah tells me that if you try to marry both of these women, it doesn't work, and it doesn't work even to make one of them your wife. In other words, now the way that Rabbi Chama is understanding it over here is that the pasuk itself is referring to simultaneous kiddushin. That's how he's interpreting this pasuk. Lo sikach isha alachosa, or I'm sorry, isha alachosa lo sikach litzrar is talking about trying to marry two of these women at once. You try to marry a woman and her sister at once, the kiddushin doesn't work for either of them. So Amalei Rava said, "Ihalchi hanu dechsev nechusan afashas osos mikarav amom." Says Rava, "Here's the problem. That pasuk says that if you try to do this, ultimately again, it's punishable by kares. I kiddushin lo tafsiba. But if kiddushin never takes effect, kares mimechayev. Then why would there be liability of kares?" Ella Amar Rava. Rava says, "Kra beze achar ze." Rava says, you are actually misinterpreting the pasuk. The pasuk is not talking about simultaneous kiddushin of two sisters. Rather, what the pasuk is talking about, like we thought the pasuk in the pasuk is talking about, marrying these women in succession. Right? If you marry Rachel, you cannot marry Leah, her sister.
So from where do we see the source that if you try to simultaneously be Mekadesh two sisters, neither of them are betrothed to you? Amarava, Ala Amarava, Krab, Zach, Umastisin, Kidiraba. Our Mishnah Bosei that says that if you try to Bosei, now remember, understand the Chiddush over here. Reuben goes over to Rachel and Leah. He says, I'm going to be Mekadesh both of you. What does the Mishnah say? Kiddushin doesn't work for either. Now Bosei, if you are writing the Mishnah, what's another possible way to write the Mishnah? He's Mekadesh to one of them. In other words, you are allowed to marry one of these women, you just can't marry both of them. So what's interesting to note is the Mishnah says, when you try to simultaneously be Mekadesh, or when you try to Mekadesh simultaneously two sisters, Kiddushin doesn't work for either. That's the concept we're driving. In other words, the fact that if you married Rachel, you then can't marry Leah, her sister, that's obvious. That's a pasuk. Like as Rava just pointed out, that's a pasuk. What we want to know is, from where do I know that if I try to Mekadesh two sisters simultaneously, Kiddushin works for neither? So it says the Gemara. Rav explains, the Mishnah is a reflection of the position of Rabba. Do Amar Rabba, kol sheino b'zeh achar zeh, afil b'bas achar zeh. Rabba says, we'll say any process that you cannot go ahead and affect simultaneously could also not happen in succession. We'll say, so this is a principle. Anything you can't do ultimately again, one after the other, also can't happen simultaneously. So therefore, I will say, in this case over here, since you can't marry these two women, Rachel and Leah, their sisters, simultaneously, therefore it doesn't work to affect Kiddushin with them one after... I'm sorry, I just said the opposite way. Since you can't marry them one after the other, right? If Reuben marries Rachel, he cannot marry Leah. Anything you can't do in succession, you can't do simultaneously either. So therefore, again, because Reuben can't marry Rachel and then Leah because they're sisters, he also cannot be Mekadesh them simultaneously as well. This is a process, this is a Talmudic principle. Kol she'eno b'zeh achar zeh, anything you can't do in succession, eino b'vas, afilu b'vas achas eino, you can't do simultaneously either. Okay, that's the principle. And Rava's suggesting that is the principle that the Mishnah is built on. So Reuben goes over to Rachel and Leah, right, who are sisters. Or Reuben goes over to Rachel and Leah, who are mother and daughter. It doesn't make a difference. Any two women who you cannot marry in succession, if you try to be Mekadesh them simultaneously, the Kiddushin doesn't work for either of them. Okay, now we're going to analyze this. So we'll say, this is our principle. Anything that you can't do in succession, you also can't do simultaneously. So let's analyze. Is that true? Is the principle true? What about 51a. Hamar b'meiser, so we'll say the halacha is, meiser is a tenth. You're not allowed to take more than a tenth, right? More than a tenth, ultimately, again, it's not meiser. So hamar b'meiser, peros. So we'll say, I want to point out, this is like agricultural meiser. Meiser that you take, like today, that we take as tzedakah, so ultimately, again, a person is permitted to take more than a tenth. You just can't do more than a fifth, right? The chomesh, can't do more than a fifth. Okay, so hamar b'meiser. So we'll say, so what happens if you separate out more than a tenth as your meiser? So what's talacha? Peros mitukanim. So the produce that you are tithing, ultimately again is mitukan, is tithed, right? It's tithed, fixed, is tithed. However, umaisros mitukanim. Well, say, interestingly enough, the problematic piece you have over here is the additional amount of meiser that you separated out, which is not meiser, is actually tevel, still has to be fully retithed. Vamai, but why is that? So we'll say, in other words, what the Gemara is going to ask is, why should it even work to separate out more than a tenth of Meiser? After all, name a koshin of a za'acharza, afidu abasacho, say no. We'll say, we have a principle. What's the principle as espoused by Rabbo? Anything you can't do in succession, you can't do simultaneously. And we'll say, can you go ahead and separate out a tenth of Meiser and then another, another twelfth? Can you do that? No. So if you can't do it in succession, then you shouldn't be able to separate out more than a tenth simultaneously either. So why does the additional designation work at all? To which the Gemara says, Amalei, shiny meiser de isa lechatzon. Meiser is different, Rabbi Yosei, because meiser has the ability to devolve upon produce in a partial fashion to begin with. The Amar tiskadish palga dechita sa kadsha. Because Rabbi Yosei, ultimately, again, it's actually interesting. If you were to go ahead and designate part of a stalk as meiser, right? Technically speaking, you could do that. So because Meiser has the ability to devolve upon something, even in a partial fashion, perhaps it's an outlier to this rule. Okay, Vari Meiser Behema. What about Meiser Behema? What's Meiser Behema? Right? You have to take one tenth of your flock and give it ultimately to the Kohen. Deleka Lechatzon. Now both say, Meiser Behema, so as opposed to regular agricultural Meiser, where technically speaking you could go and designate part of a stock as one type of tithe, with one part. By animals, you can't do that, right? By animals, ultimately, again, if an animal is designated as Meiser Behema, then halacha l'maisa, it's fully Meiser Behema. Watch this, Rabbi Say. Listen to this. Veleka bezachar zeh, v'ama Rava. Rava says, we'll say first wide line, yatu shnayim ba'asiri. Now, we'll say, remember again, how do you do Meiser Behema? Now, we'll say, this is actually very apropos, because remember again, we're still in the midst of the Yomim Noraim. So remember again, when the Gemara says, Rosh Hashanah says, Barash Hashanah, Kol ba'e olam ovrim lefanav kibnei maro. Right? On Rosh Hashanah, all the inhabitants of the world come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu like bnei maro. The Gemara offers three interpretations as to what bnei maro is. The first interpretation is kibnei amarno, like sheep. Rashi HaKadosh, what does it mean, like sheep? Rashi says it is a metaphor for Meiser Behema. How would the shepherd, right? How would the shepherd cat Meiser Behema? He'd corral all the animals, make a very small exit from the corral. They'd come out, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10 comes out. He stands with a little red paintbrush, puts a little schmear on the 10th animal. That's Meiser Behema. The metaphor, of course, for Rosh Hashanah is that we come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu one by one. One by one. There's individual judgment. There's individual connection. There's individual relationship. So we'll say, so now watch this. That's Meiser Behema. So watch this. Yatsu shnayim ba'asiri. Listen to this. Let's say, we'll say, you know those sheep, they can get a little feisty. So what happens? Two of them squeeze through the exit of the corral at once. Right? So what would have been slot number 10, two of them squeeze through. V'karan asiri asiri v'achad asar. So I'll say, so now what happens? Oh, I'm sorry. So the Karana Siri. So I'll say, so now what happens? Two of them go through the entrance at the same time, and the farmer says, Asiri. He declares Meiser Behema on two animals. What's that look? Asiri va'achadasar mu'uravin zebozeh. So I'll say, those animals are a mixture of 10 and 11, which means they have a mixture of Kedushas Meiser Behema and chulin. Then I will say, so what is that? What do you see from here? You see from here that Allah Chalamaisa, both animals have both identities. Now, we'll say, based on what we just said, now remember, Rabbi's principle was, anything you can't do in succession, you can't do simultaneously. So can you call two animals number 10? Can you call 10 number 10, 11 number 10? So the Gemara's having meaning is, no. If you can't do it in succession, then why do both animals become vested with Meister Behema's sanctity at once? The Gemara says, no. Shani Meiser Behema de Isse Betal. So this is not a good raya. Why? Because Meiser Behema, you could actually have a situation of more than one animal being vested with Meiser Behema Kedusha if it happens accidentally. For example, this is a great case. Karala Tishi Asiri, Ula Asiri Tishi'i, Ula Achada Sar Asiri. I will say, this is the dangers of drinking during Meiser Behema, right? So I'll say, so watch this. You call animal number 9, 10. You call 10, 9. And you call 11, 10. Right? So I'll say, so again, a little too much simchas yantiv. So I'll say, so again, you get all the simchas. So what's talach, huh? What's talach, I'll say? Shloshta nikudashin. So I'll say, in actuality, in this case, all three animals are vested with Kedushas Meiser Behema, right? Because you called the 9th the 10th, so therefore that has 10th sanctity. You called the 10th the 9th, but it doesn't matter, the 10th is always the 10th, that has Meiser Behema, and you called the 11th the 10th as well. So two of the animals you called the 10th, one of the animals the actual 10th, all three have Kedushas Meiser Behema. So you can't really bring a raya, therefore, from Meiser Behema to Shter Rabba's principle, because Meiser Behema essentially operates just under a separate set of rules. Incredible. Let's go back there. Vahari Toda. So we'll say, what about a carbon Toda? Now remember again, carbon Toda, we'll say, specifically, we're talking about the Lachmei Toda. Carbon Toda is unique in that it is brought with 40 loaves. 40 loaves. We'll say, tell you something amazing. You know, the carbon Toda is actually very important. The carbon Toda has the smallest window for consumption of any carbon, Right? You're only allowed to eat carbon for one day. One day. That's it. Normally, carbonos get a day and a night, sometimes 2 days and one night, right? But ultimately, again, carbon toda only gets one day, which is especially unique because it is a huge carbon. You have 40 loaves. 40 loaves. So I'll say, what's the pshat that carbon toda only has one day? So remember again, when do you bring a carbon toda? Carbon toda is a Thanksgiving offering. Now the truth is, again, in its essence, it's when you're saved from a life-threatening situation, right? And you give out carbon toda to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Sasam, the Gerab, says something so beautiful. He says, carbon toda has the smallest window because you're all saying, every day brings its own reason for Thanksgiving. In other words, there's no such thing that what I'm giving thanks to Hashem for today, that's today. Tomorrow is going to have its own bracha. Each and every day warrants its own thanksgiving to the Ribono Shel Olam. And therefore, again, the carbon toda, only today. Only today. Tomorrow, you'll bring another toda. I mean, metaphorically, so to speak. Every day brings its own akar. So I will say, it's such an important yisod. Because what we learn from carbon toda is that each and every day, you must actively find something to thank the Ribono Shel Olam for. Every day has its own bracha. And maybe it could be that I'm thanking Hashem for the same things every single day. That's fine. But Lamaisa, every single day there's a chiyuv of Hakaras Hatov to the Ribono Shel Olam. Hashem, today I'm thankful to you for. And fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. Because yesterday's Toda doesn't count for today. And today's Toda doesn't count for tomorrow. Such an incredible yisod. In any event, Sigmar says as follows. What about carbon toda? Listen to this. Delay seba tos. So also remember again, carbon toda, halach l'maisa, unlike maiser behema, where if you make a mistaken designation, it works. By carbon toda, mistaken designation doesn't work. So Rashi explains, for example, that if you went ahead and you used, let's say, coarse flour for the lach l'maisa, for the toda loaves, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. It has to be fine flour. Yeah, v'lesa bezachazeh. Furthermore, again, by carbon toda, Rabbo say, remember, there's a limit of 40 loaves. If you designate 40 and designate another 40, the second 40 are not designated as toda loaves. V'itmar, yet we learned, toda shenishkata al shmonim chalos. Rabbo say, let's say you designated 80 loaves. 80 loaves for your carbon toda. Chizkiah Amar Kachi the Arba Mitok Shmonim. Chizkiah says, listen, only 40 out of the 80 are consecrated. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lo Kachi La Arba Mitok Shmonim. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, nothing is consecrated. It's a flawed consecration, and therefore ultimately again it doesn't work. Gemara says, Lav Itmar Allah Am Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi Hakol Modim Keicha Da Amar Kachi Le Arba Mitok Shmonim. Kachi. So Rabbi Shimon Levi says like this. Everyone agrees that Rabbi say, if I designated 80 loaves and I said 40 out of the 80, or I should say differently, I have 80 loaves. And I actively said 40 out of the 80 loaves should be designated as Lachmei Toda. Everyone agrees that what? That works. Lo yikachu arbaim ele imken kachi shmarim lo kachi. If I say 40 should only be designated if what? If all 80 are designated, everyone agrees, that doesn't work. So we're just framing the case everyone agrees on. So we'll say, if I have 80 loaves, and I say, listen, out of this 80, 40 should be designated as Lachmei Toda. Everyone agrees? It works. If I say, 40 should be designated only if all 80 are designated, everyone agrees? It doesn't work. Lo nechleku ela bistam. So we'll say, ultimately, again, where's the mechlokes? The machlokis comes up is what happens if I just bring 80 loaves and I don't say anything. So Mar Savralach Rayas Kamechavein. One opinion says, why am I bringing 80? It's almost say it's toda insurance, right? What was toda insurance? If something happens to my 40 loaves, this way I have backup loaves. Toda insurance. That's how I view the other 40. Mar Savral the carbon gadol Kamechavein. Other opinion says, no, his intention is to bring a carbon gadol of 80 loaves, and you can't bring an 80 loaf, toda. The Rava. So we'll say, fine. So therefore, again, that's why toda is going to be the exception. We'll say, I just want to point out how incredible this is. We'll say, yesterday, right? Yesterday's daf reference to Eretz Yisrael. Today's daf reference to Kabbalah. So we'll say, I want to tell you something. What did you do, Chalamayit, in the Beis HaMikdash? Ever wonder? Right, in the Beis HaMikdash stood, and the Meretz which will be Zohar, what did you do, Chalamayit? So Karim Masaf, let's say, remember, for people who lived far away from Yerushalayim, over the course of the year, you rack up sacrificial obligations, right? Or as maybe you have a friend who has to bring a chatos. No, not you, right? Your friend has to bring a chatos. Maybe you have to bring a carbon toda. Rebbe say Chol HaMoed was the time where everyone had the opportunity, because in Yom Tov you can't, because in Yom Tov you only could bring obligatory karbanos. Chol HaMoed was the time where if you had karbanos that had to be brought, you would be able to bring them to the base. I mean, the Shavuot say, there was no Six Flags in Yerushalayim, right? There was no Hershey Park, right? Who needs that, right? In Yerushalayim, what you had was karbanos. You had karbanos. And every family would go ahead and bring their sacrificial obligations. Then again, you're beautiful, you'd picnic on the Har HaBayis. Incredible. I said that was the Chol HaMoed activity in Eretz Yisrael. So I just want to point out how incredible it is that we're learning this Gemara about a carbon toda, about carbonos on Chol HaMoed. Again, I will say, second Eretz Yisrael reference we've had, and it's only the second day of Chol HaMoed. It's incredible. So again, based on what we learned, again, I will say as well, that this goes with the idea that if we can't yet be in Yerushalayim, and we can't yet be in the Beis HaMikdash, at least Unishama Parim Sifaseinu, at least through our Torah, we're experiencing what it must have been like to be Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash as well. Incredible. So as it says the Gemara, V'rava, Lama Olei L'Shanui Kirabo, Deipok Lei, Kiddushin Shei Misrun L'Biyaninu. So we'll say, so that's interesting. So Rava, why does he even have to go down this whole route? Also, remember again, let's take a step back. The whole reason we're in this discussion is why? We're trying to figure out the Mishnah's first case. What was the Mishnah's first case? Reuven goes over to Rachel and Leah, two sisters. He says, you're both Mikudeshes to me. What did the Mishnah say? What's the halacha? What's the halacha? They are not Mikudeshes. That was, we're trying to figure out why not. So what's the answer we gave? The answer we gave was Rabba's principle. Kol she'eno b'ze'achazeh, afilu b'bas achaseno. Anything that can't take place in succession can't take place simultaneously. The Gemara says, but why does Rava even have to get into this? There's another issue, Rabbi Osai. It's Kiddushin She'in Mesurun Labia. In other words, when a man tries to betroth two sisters, even if technically speaking the Kiddushin would work, Rabbi Osai, what can't happen? Bia can't happen. We have a principle that a marriage which can't result in Bia is not a valid marriage. That's why this should be problematic. To which the Gemara says, you're right, the Dvar Drayim Bar Chama Kamar. He's just, again, I will say, Rava doesn't need to get into this, as we're going to see in just a moment. Rava was just answering up Drayim Bar Chama. Because remember again, Drayim Bar Chama wanted to try to explain the Mishnah by quoting a Pasuk. Rava came along and said, the Pasuk is not talking about simultaneous Kiddushin. Pasuk is talking about successive Kiddushin. And then Rava quoted Rava. But indeed, Rava himself would feel that the reason the Mishnah's case doesn't work is because this is a case of Kiddushin She'inan Mesurin Labia. It's a marriage which can't result in Bia. And if a marriage can't result in Bia, then it is not a valid Kiddushin. So we'll say, now, let's analyze that. Itmar, Kiddushin She'inan Mesurin Labia. What happens if you have a marriage which can't result in Bia? So we'll say, what's an example of a marriage that can't result in Bia? A man marries two sisters. A man marries a woman and his mother, not in his mother, a woman and her mother, right? Those are relationships which can't result in bia. Abaye Amar Abaye says, Havi Kiddushin. Alt and Abbas, and now by the way, there are other examples of that, less severe examples of that. A kohen marries a grusha, right? An almana ultimately, a kohen gadol marries an almana, right? A Yisrael marries a mamzeres. So these are prohibited marriages. These are prohibited marriages where technically speaking the bia is aser. So kiddushin shame is from the bia. So I'll say, look at Rashi for just the fine. Now if you look at Rashi's kiddushin shame is from the bia. Let's use Rashi's case here. It's supposed to say it is five lines up from the bottom. Kiddush achas mishtei achayos velo pirish eizo mehem de'ein yochalisa achas in the shema zoi achos ishto. Well, so this case is great. I mean, it's not great. It's bad, but it's an interesting case. Well, this is this. Reuven goes over to two sisters. He says, listen, I'm Mekadesh one of you, right? I'm Mekadesh one of you. And then both say, what was the problem, right? He didn't say which one. He didn't say which one. And subsequently, apparently, he a little foggy on the details, right? So I say, so what happens? He can't have relations with either of them, right? He can't do nisuin with either of them. Why? Because there's a possibility that she's actually the sister of his wife. So that would be an example of Kiddushin Shei Mesurin Labia. So again, here, technically speaking, the Kiddushin could be good. Remember, he's not being Mekadish both of them. He's only being Mekadish one of them. He just doesn't remember which one he's being Mekadish. So ultimately, again, he can't live with either of them because one of those women is... Because if he has relations with one of them, the one he has relations with might be the sister of his wife. So that's a case of Kiddushin, Shem, Misur, and Labiyah. So the Gemara says, so what's halacha? Abai Amar, have a Kiddushin. Abai, he says the Kiddushin is still good. Now, people say, now what does it mean the Kiddushin is still good? What does that mean? What that essentially would mean is he would need to give both of them a get. That's really what it would mean. Rava Amar, lo have a Kiddushin. Rava says, no, it's not Kiddushin. It's not Kiddushin at all. And therefore, again, Rava would seem to say there's no marriage here. Because there's no marriage, therefore there's no requirement for get. Amar Rava. Rava said, Barahina Sarali. So Barahina explained this to me, and he said as follows, Ki yikach ish isha uba'ala. So Rava said, what's the logic over here? The logic is like this. Pasuk says, a man will go ahead and marry a woman, uba'ala, and he will have relations with her. What do you see from here? Kiddushin amasru labi'ahavi kiddushin. Kiddushin shem isru labi'ahavi kiddushin. The Pasuk itself links the ability to have bia with the effective marriage. And if a marriage can't result in bia, then ultimately, again, the marriage itself is fundamentally ineffective. So we'll say, let's analyze this. So we'll say, so fundamental machlokes. So again, I'll say, I just want to be clear. Everyone is agreeing that these are unsustainable marriages, right? Ultimately, they're going to have to be dissolved with a get because you don't know who you're married to. But a point over here is that Abai is saying is you have affected a proper halachic process, so to speak, and it's going to trigger the need to give both of these women a get. Rava says, because bia can't happen, there is no marriage. And because there is no marriage, therefore, halacha l'maisa, no need for get as well. Incredible. So the Gemara, let's analyze. Good. Tanan, mekadish ishu bita, o isha v'achusa ka'achas, in la mikudashos. Shabbos says this. What did the Mishnah say? A man betroths a woman and her daughter, or a woman and her sister simultaneously. There's no kiddushin. Shabbos says, what do you see from here? Ha'achas mi isha bita, o mi isha v'achusa mikudashos. But say, what do you see from here? You see from here that if you were to go over to this group, if you were to go over to a mother and a daughter, or to a woman and her sister, and you were to say to them, I'm a Kaddish one of you, right? And then gets a little foggy on the details, they will say, it would work. It would work. Even though what? Because he's foggy on the details, what? It's Kiddushin Shein Mesur Labia. It's Kiddushin that can't result in Bia. But yet again, the Gemara is saying, the Gemara is inferring from the Mishnah, that the marriage would still be a valid marriage. This seems to be a support to Abaye, a question on Rava. Va'amai. Kiddushin shem misrul labiyaninu. But say, if he goes over to a woman and her daughter and says, one of you is mikudeshes to me, but doesn't articulate which one, and then becomes a bit foggy on the details, that's kiddushin shem misrul labiyah. Yet we're inferring from the Mishnah that Allah Chalamai said it's a good marriage. Tiyufta de Rava. This would seem to refute the position of Rava. Armor the Chalrava. Rava says, no, tameich. Ema Seifa, go to the end of the Mishnah. Maisa b'chamish Hashem u'bayin shtei achayos. And Rav said this was the story in the Mishnah. A man went over to a group of five women. In this group of five women were two sisters. V'liket echad kal kol shel te'inim v'shalah hanayis v'shal shi'as haisa. He went and collected a basket of dates from the field that belonged to these women, right? But it was Shemitah. So the dates were hefker. V'amei harik kulcham mekudshos li'bekal kol azu. He goes over to the group, gives them the basket of dates, and says, all of you are betrothed to me with the contents of this basket. V'amru chacham, the chum said, ein achayos mikudashos. The sisters are not betrothed. So the Gemara says, achayos utein mikudashos. It's only the sisters who aren't betrothed. Hanachlios mikudashos. But I will say, everyone else, is mikudashos. So now watch this. Hechidami, what's the case? Ilema d'amar kulchem. If he said, ultimately, again, all of you are mikudashos to me, then the Gemara says, if he said, kulchem, I'm sorry. Hey, ilay medamra kulchem kani, at v'chamar hu, v'at v'chamar lo kara. Now remember, if he said, all of you are mikudashos to me, then I'm going to say, that is the equivalent of saying, kani at v'chamar. Now I'm going to say, now what does that mean, kani at v'chamar? Look at the last Rashi on the daf. Kani at v'chamar hu, no sin matonos lenolad ulo ubar shemei imo, eshe eno kone klum, kama nolad eno kone, shay lo hikna lezeh belo zeh. I'm going to give you a simple example. Let's say I go over to Reuven, and I say, Reuven, I would like to give you over my field. And I'm giving it to you, and you know, Reuven's wife is Reuven. That's not Reuven's. Shimon, I go over to Reuven. I say, Reuven, I want to give you over my field. And also Shimon's wife is expecting a baby. I want to give it over to Shimon's baby as well. To you and to Shimon's baby. So Shabbos say, what's the effect of that transaction? I can't convey something over to an unborn child. So once that unborn child is a partner in the transaction, it voids the entire transaction. In other words, when you bring a party into a transaction who is incapable of being part of that transaction, it voids the entire transaction. That's called at v'chamer. Chamer literally means a donkey. Harashi is illustrating this with an ubar. So we'll say, so same thing over here, the Gemara says, if Reuven goes over to this group of women, and right, two of them are sisters, and he says, kulchem, all of you are mikudeshes to me, so why don't we say the fact that he can't marry the sisters should essentially void the kiddushin for the entire group. Ella amud beis, ella lav da'amar lehu, achas mikem. Shabbos say, must be the case over here is where he's actually not being mekadesh all of them. What is he saying? He's saying, one of you. And I will say, and what do we see? And yet, so he's only being mekadesh one woman. Vikatani, yet the Mishnah says, ein achayos mikudashos. Ultimately, again, the sisters are not mikudashas. So we see over here, they're immediately excluding the sisters. And I will say, now what are we doing? Now remember, he's only being mekadesh one of them. So right. So what's interesting is yet who's excluded from the group? The sisters. Now why are the sisters excluded from the group? Because the concern over here is because he's not being clear which woman he is betrothing, the sisters have to be excluded because otherwise, if he has relations with one of them, that woman may turn out to be the sister of his wife. So again, that seems to support the position ultimately again of Abaye, that even a kiddushin that's in Misrun Labia, ultimately again is still a kiddushin, to which the Gemara says, L'Rava Kasha Resha, L'Abaye Kasha Seifa. Sorry, it's the opposite. It supports Rava, not Abaye. So according to Rava, the Resha is problematic of the Mishnah. According to Abaye, the Seifa is problematic of the Mishnah. Hey, I said that the wrong way before. Good, so we'll say, see now watch this. So we'll say, so again, what all the Gemara is saying over here is, we have Macholkes Abaye and Rava. What's Macholkes Abaye and Rava? Kiddushin She'ein Misrun L'Bia. If you have a kiddushin that can't result in Bia, is it a valid kiddushin or not? So ultimately, again, Rava says no, Abaye says yes. All the Gemara is pointing out over here is there are contradictory inferences from the Mishnah about what the halacha is. So ultimately, again, for Rava, the Resha poses a contradiction. For Abaye, the Sifa, we just learned, poses a contradiction. So let's analyze. So Abaye Batari Sitameh, Rava Batari Sitameh. So we'll say both Abaye and Rava can interpret the Mishnah to go ahead and bolster their positions. Abaye Mitaris Latameh, Abaye will explain the following, HaMekadish Isho Bita, O Isha V'Achusa, Ke'achos Eima Mikudashos. So right, Abaye will say, the Mishnah says, if a man betroths a woman and his daughter, or a woman and her sister, if you do it simultaneously, ultimately the Kiddushin doesn't work. Simultaneously doesn't work, Ha'achos Me'isha Ubita, Me'isha V'Achusa Mikudashos. But I will say, what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha l'maisa, simultaneity doesn't work. What does work? What does work? What does work is ze'achar ze'. Right? Something where it says, ha'achos mi'isha, I shouldn't say ze'achar ze', I'm sorry. If you were to betroth one of them, ultimately, again, it would work. So the Gemara says, ha'achos mi'isha bita, mi'isha v'achos mi'kudeshes. So I will say, so again, why? Because the Abaye holds that even kiddushin she'in misrun l'biya is called kiddushin. It's called kiddushin. So the Gemara says, "Amar haruya lebiya tiskadishli ena mikudeshes." Now, if he says the woman who is ruya lebiya, the woman with whom I could be intimate with, right, ultimately is mikudeshes to me, then of course it would not work because Rabbi says again, he can't be intimate with either of these women because one of them may be the daughter of his wife, the mother of his wife, or the sister of his wife. Okay, complicated. So the Gemara says as follows: "So my tsunami," and then Abaye will say, "My tsunami." The story supports it as well. My tsunami. So then the Mishnah tells the story of five women. Amongst them are two sisters. Velikate, Achad Kalkala Shaltan is just restating the story. And Reuven comes along and takes a basket of dates. Right? Va'amar haru'uya limikem tiskadishli. And he says, the one in the group who is fit to be my wife should become mikudeshes to me. The Chacham said, "Ein achayos nikudashos." The Chacham said ultimately again that the sisters are ineligible. Sisters are ineligible. Good. So we'll say, so that's a bias interpretation. First wide line. The Rav Mitazdanei, Rav explains according to his reasoning. Hamekadesh achas miisho bita or achas miisho vachosa. If a man is mekadesh one from a mother-daughter pair or one from a sister pair, naase kemisha kidesh isho bita. Rava will say, if you go over to a mother-daughter or to two sisters and are Mekadesh one, being Mekadesh one is like being Mekadesh two simultaneously. Just like being Mekadesh two simultaneously doesn't work, even being Mekadesh one won't work. Why? Because Rava will say, according to Rava, this is Kiddushin She'ein Mesurin Labia. It's a Kiddushin that can't result in Bia. And Rava holds that Kiddushin She'ein Mesurin Labia is what Rava will say, not the Kiddushin in the Mekudeshes. And there was a story also with five women in the group or two sisters. Ruben comes along and collects a basket of, just restating the case of the Mishnah, a basket of dates. Amar, Hare Kulchem, the Achos Mishteh Achayos, and the Kadoshos Liba Kalkalazu. And he said, listen to this. And he said, all of you and one of the two sisters is Mikudeshes to me with this basket. The Chacham said, Ein achayos mikudashos. Ultimately, again, the sisters are not mikudashos. So therefore, both Abaye and Rava interpret the Mishnah to suit their own positions. I will say, by the way, how do we paskin? How do we paskin this machlokes? So I will say, we paskin like Abaye, that even a kiddushin, she'ein misurin labia, is still called the kiddushin. So Allah says, if you marry a man, marries a woman, and again, the marriage cannot result in bia, because the bia is usr, the kiddushin is still a valid kiddushin. What does it mean? It's a valid. What does it mean? It's a valid kiddushin. Okay. If it can't result in me, what does it mean? It's a valid kiddushin. Get. It means that ultimately, again, to dissolve that marriage would require a get. That's how we pass in halacha lemaisa like Abaye. Good. Let's see a couple more cases. Tashma hamakadish es bito stam. Let's say interesting case over here. A man, right? A man goes ahead. Reuven, we'll call him, has a couple of daughters, right? And what happens? Reuven goes and is marrying off his daughter. So he's Mekadesh his daughter Stam. In other words, he does not go ahead and, actually Rashi says, Mekadesh Bito Stam, Achas Mibinosecha Mikudesh Asli. So this is actually interesting. So now, so Rashi's understanding it over here, that Achas, that Reuven has a bunch of daughters, and Reuven is marrying off one of his daughters. Right? So he goes over to Shimon, right? Shimon says, yes, Achas Mibinosecha Mikudesh Asli. Only one issue. Only one issue is they didn't identify which daughter. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, so ein habogeres bechlal. If Reuven has adult daughters, the adult daughters are not included in this. Ein habogeres bechlal. Now we'll say, now what's the logic? Look at Rashi. Ein habogeres bechlal. Im yesh bogeres bogeres harbe ein achos mehem besafek kiddushin halalu l'tzarech ke lefi she'ein habershus l'kabel kiddushin. Very, very simple. Why? Because l'maisa, a father doesn't have control over his bogeres daughter. So therefore, again, halacha l'maisa, since Reuven is arranging this marriage, the pashta said only the suffix only devolves upon daughters whom he has rishus over. He doesn't have rishus. He doesn't have control over his bogeres daughters. So the Gemara says ha ketanos piklal. I will say, but again, the minor daughters would be included in this. Va'amai, but why is that? Kiddushin shein misurin labia ninhu. I will say, here's the problem. Because Shimon is only being Mekadesh, right? He's being Mekadesh one of the daughters. And what Rabbi say? We don't know which daughter, so he cannot have Bia with any of these women. Why? Because Lamaisa, there's always the Chashash that one of them is the sister of the woman he betrothed. Yet Rabbi say, we see that Lamaisa, the Gemara is saying, the Brisa is saying, that it is a good Kiddushin. Even though it's a Kiddushin, She'ein Misurin Labia. This is a support to Abaye, a refutation of Rava, Tiyufta de Rava. Amalacha Rava, Rava would say, no. Hacham asking, and what's the case here? Kishe'ein sham ela gidola ukitana. The case of Rava says, where Reuven has two daughters. There's a gidola daughter and a kitana daughter. So only two girls. So Rava says, so essentially now, it is clear which girl Shimon is marrying. Why? Because if we exclude the Bogeres, right? Because again, a father doesn't have control over his Bogeres daughter, all you're left with is the Kitano. To which the Gemara says, here's the problem. Ha Bogros Katani. But again, the Mishnah said Bogros. So we'll say Bogros is plural, which makes it sound like, again, Reuven has multiple Bogros daughters and ketanos. To which the Gemara says, no. My bogros da ama. People say bogros doesn't mean plural bogros. He just means he has a daughter who's in the parsha being a bogeras. She's an adult. Iachi my memory. We'll say if that's the case, so then what's the chiddush over here? So essentially, we should tell me the case is like this. Reuven has two daughters, a bogeras and a ketana. He goes over to Shimon. Shimon is mekadesh one of the daughters. Doesn't explicitly say which daughter. So we'll say, so obviously it's not going to be the bogeras. Why isn't it the bogeras? Why not? Because the father doesn't have permission to accept kiddushin on her behalf. Well, if it's not the bogeras, then who is it going to be? The ketana. So what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. We'll say, watch this. The case over here is where the Bogeres daughter asked her father to marry her off. Right? Asked her father, be my shaliach, to accept kiddushin on my behalf. So we'll say, now watch this case. This is fascinating. So now Reuven is empowered to marry off both of his daughters, right? Reuven is empowered to marry off his Bogeres daughter. Why? Because she made him shaliach. He's also empowered to marry off his ketana daughter. Why? Because he has that biblical right. So now watch this. Now Reuven runs into Shimon. Shimon wants to marry one of Reuven's daughters. But Shimon's an easy to please guy, right? It doesn't matter to him which daughter. So watch this. So I'll say, so what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, when Reuven marries off one of his daughters, which daughter is he marrying off? The ketana, not the bogeres. Now we'll say, watch this. Mal de temo. I would have thought that maybe when Reuven receives the kiddushin from Shimon, he's receiving it on behalf of his bogeres daughter. Kamashmolo no, de lo shavik inish mini de isli hanamine. We'll say no. Kamashmolo, when he receives the kiddushin, we assume that he's receiving it on behalf of the ketana daughter. Why, Rabbo say? Because who gets to keep the kesef kiddushin for the ketana daughter? Right, Reuven. Who gets the kesef kiddushin for the bogeres daughter? The daughter. So Rabbo say, kamash malon, that a person doesn't give up the opportunity for them to benefit. So Rabbo say, what a profound gemara. Rabbo say, at the end of the day, the way we are programmed to operate is what's in it for me. What's in it for me? And people, their default mechanism is self-serving interests. Rabbo say, and you see it, apparently Chazal felt that even parents are not immune to this. So I'll say, how often does it happen in the realm of parenting that ultimately, again, what a parent does, either consciously or subconsciously, is they push their children in directions that benefit them. That benefit them, right? Consciously, subconsciously, I'm trying to make my child in my image. I'm trying to live vicariously through my child. I like to say I'm pushing my child for them, but often it's really for me. See, I want to say, it's very helpful. As much as it sounds like a little bit like a downer, right? But Lamai said, it's very helpful in navigating relationships. When you realize that it is rare for people to be selfless, right? It is rare for people to do things for just high motivations. At the end of the day, we do stuff that benefits us. That's the way it's working. Now again, does it mean we're incapable of selfless activity? Of course not. We're very capable of that. But Lamai said, that's not the default. The default is lo shavik inish midi de isle ano amine. That if you give me an opportunity to benefit, and both said, but it is helpful because if you want to motivate people to do things, what you have to show them is what's the benefit for them. And by the way, this works in ruchnius, right? In other words, if I see that something has a, it doesn't just have to be a material benefit, if there's a ruchni benefit as well, but I just need to understand what the benefit is. If I understand what the benefit is, I'll do it. So you know, we'll say here, Reuven is empowered to marry off two daughters. The difference just is if he marries off his bogeres daughter, she gets the kesef kiddushin. If he marries off his ketana daughter, he gets the kesef kiddushin. So halacha lemaaseh again, when he marries off one of the daughters, and it's not clear which one, the default is he's marrying off the ketana because he gets benefit from that. I milo askinon de amrilei kiddushin ledidach. So we'll say one second. Maybe the case over here is where the bogeres daughter told her father, Dad, you could keep the kesef kiddushin, right? You could keep the kesef kiddushin. Afilu hachi lo shavik inish mitzvah de ram yalei, the avid mitzvah de lo ram yalei. The other Shabbos, a person will not go ahead and pass on a mitzvah that is incumbent upon them to perform a mitzvah that's not incumbent upon them. We'll say, it's interesting. The Gemara here is framing that it is a mitzvah for a man to marry off his minor daughter. So therefore, again, we'll say when looking at these two situations, there's a mitzvah to marry off his minor daughter. And again, and it's nice, of course, to marry off his bogeres daughter, but at this point in time, it's kind of on her a little bit more. So again, he's not going to pass over a mitzvah on him to perform a different kind of mitzvah that is not incumbent upon him. So we'll say it's very, very interesting ideas over here, which is, and they're kind of both linked, right? Let's see, what they're saying is, one of the hardest things about say to overcome is the innate egocentricity, selfishness, and self-centeredness that we possess. I will say that is who we are. I will say it's incredible. I see this all the time. You know, it's always fascinating when people try to advocate for something. That, you know, whenever you hear people, this is so much better for the group, so much better for the community, so much better. It's always interesting when you dig down a little bit, right? What people are often doing is they're advocating for their own needs, right? And trying to frame it in the context of a group, of a community. And often it's just about, I want this. Which is okay. We're all permitted to want things. There's nothing wrong with that. And I will say, but it is interesting to see. That's why I will say, do you want to know why Achdus is so hard? Why is Achdus so hard? Why is Achdus so elusive? Because we'll say, what does Achdus require? Achdus requires putting your own needs on the side and thinking about what is actually best for the cohesive greater group. And I will say that is one of the... That why is it that we have not been able to achieve Achdus since the destruction of Beis HaMikdash? Because I will say, this is it. This is all it. Because man is naturally selfish. Man is naturally egocentric. This is what I want. This is what I want. Okay? But if I have Achdus, I have to put my needs on, I have to put what I want on the side in an effort to bring everybody together. Now let's say, it's really hard. And now, by the way, it's a little bit of a nechama, because it's not that we don't want Achdus. Instead, I will say, Achdus goes against the very grain of our fabric as human beings. As human beings, lo shavik in ishmidi de iste adam mine. I want what benefits me. Achdus, it's not about you. It's about keeping the kehila, keeping the klal, keeping the am together. That's what it is about. But I don't like doing it this way. I understand. But lamaisa, if it's a choice between what you like versus keeping everyone together, are you strong enough and courageous enough to put your own needs on the side to keep the klal together? And I will say, it's the hardest thing in the world. It's easier to learn Shas than it is to be an Achdus Yid. It's easier to do every single mitzvah in the Torah than it is to be an Achdus Yid. Because being an Achdus Yid, I have to be willing to sacrifice what I want for the greater good of keeping the klal together. And I will say, this is what we see. It has always been the greatest challenge of Klal. So this is at least a little bit validating. Now I know why it's a challenge. See, it's not a challenge because we don't like each other. We love each other. Jews would do anything for each other. Right? So we'll say, Eretz Yisrael, you know what the best part about breaking down on the side of the road in Eretz Yisrael, the best part? You're going to get help pretty quickly. Right? Baruch Hashem. Right? You know what the best... You know, I'll tell you just a little. My favorite time in Eretz Yisrael. So often when I take, let's say, like a night flight, so you get in like late afternoon, so depending on the time of the year, so by the time you get out of the airport, already it's sunset, right? The sun's going down. So it's happening more than once, and the truth is, I'm gonna lie, like it's like a guilty pleasure of mine. Guilty pleasure is to pull over on the side of the highway into the shoulder and to daven mincha as the sun is setting. Only in Eretz Yisrael you can pull over onto the side of the road and daven mincha at the side of the road. And let's say, you know what the most amazing thing is? Wait 3 minutes and you'll have a minyan. It's happened to 3 minutes, you have a minyan. Right? Because as soon as people see someone standing and going like this, right, without a reflective vest, because that means you have, if you have the reflective vest, that means you've broken down, right? But Lamaisa, just stand by the side. Within a couple of minutes, there's going to be a minyan. Yeah, even after sunset, there's going to be a minyan for mincha. If you stand long enough. I would say, you know, there's. Jews love each other. We love each other so much. The lack of Achdus that sometimes exists within Klal Yisrael is not about a lack of love. It's just about a shtickle selfishness. I need this. I want this. We'll say it's the same way. Do we need, I know it sounds ironic as well, do we need so many shuls in Klal Yisrael? We need so many shuls? Everybody has to spend millions of dollars putting up buildings? We don't need it. We don't need it. Right? There's only one Beis HaMikdash. Again, the amount of time and effort, because no, this one needs this, and this one needs this, and by the way, it's more than that. And then in the shul, I need a this minion, I need a that minion, I need a that. I don't say why. Why? It has to be the way you need it. It has to be the way you want it. Can you imagine if people say, okay, it doesn't have to be exactly how I want it. It's so much better just to be together than it is to have it how I want it. Right? So in other words, on one hand, is it beautiful to have all the... Of course, it's beautiful to have all of this. But how much more beautiful would it be? Would it be how much more... Again, this is the Beis HaMikdash. How much more beautiful would it be to go ahead and have one place? Well, we'll say... If you, I always say, you know what the greatest challenge of the Beis HaMikdash is going to be? The greatest challenge? The greatest challenge, I will say, is there's one Beis HaMikdash, right? It's not like there's like the Young Israel of the Beis HaMikdash, right? The Aguda of the Beis HaMikdash. There's Nusach Ari, there's Nusach Sfar, there's Nusach Ashkenaz. There's Hashkama, there's Tin Minyan, there's this, there's that, there's this, Min Minyan. I'll say, there's just the Beis HaMikdash. But I need my thing. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't need your thing. You don't need to have it your way. You don't need a la carte. No, but I like too much. No, that's what it means to be part of the klal. What it means to be part of the klal is it's not about you. It's not about what you need the way you need it. It's about sublimating yourself to the collective and being part of something bigger than you. Even if it doesn't check every box the way you exactly need it. The beauty in Achdus. We'll say, you know, again, then we're going to go on. We'll have to go on. We'll say, you know the greatest value of this? When you go to Davin at the Kosel on Friday night, on Shabbos night. We'll say, to be honest, like, okay, sometimes you could find, like, when we had Yarchi Kali, a beautiful davening. But in general, like, when you go to the Kosel on Shabbos night, it's not necessarily, I would tell you that 9 out of 10 times, when I was just there a little while ago, like from a davening perspective, you can have a much more meaningful and kavanah-filled davening here. You could. It's quieter. You could concentrate. No one is body checking you multiple times, right, over the course of Shmona Esrei. But you wouldn't trade it for the world. I'd rather have a davening with no personal kavanah and be jam packed with thousands of Jews than to feel the embrace of the Shekhinah during my personal davening and be just by myself or be with a much smaller group, right? That's what Achdus is. I'm willing to give up things that are important to me for the sake of being together. Incredible. I know that was good. But at least now, we have a validation, which is important, because people sometimes think that a lack of Achdus represents a lack of Avas Yisrael. And that's not true. No one loves each other like Jews love each other. The lack of achdus that sometimes we experience is the lo shavik inish midi de isla no mine, is that human nature is, I want what I want. That's where the lack of achdus comes from. Okay, Tashma. All right, Bosei. Good. We're doing another line. Tashma, sorry. This is the problem with doing the daf after davening. I just want to point out, right? Too much time. The Gemara says as follows. So Tashma, mishi yesh lo shtei banos. Right, interesting case. We'll say a man has two sets of daughters from two wives. It's exhausting, these cases already, right? So, man has two sets of daughters from two wives. Va'amar, he says, so what happens? He goes ahead and he betroths one of them, right? He marries off one of them. And what happens? He says, I was Mekadesh, my oldest daughter, Biti Agdola. And I will say, here's the problem. I don't know what oldest means. Veni Odea, im Gdolos Shebigdolos, does it mean the oldest of the oldest? In other words, does it literally mean like the oldest of all the daughters? Im Gdolos Shebkitanos, or maybe, again, I must remember, he has two sets of daughters. One from Rachel, one from Leah. Two daughters from Rachel, two daughters from Leah. Maybe it's the oldest daughter of the second set of daughters. Vim Biktanos Shebigdolos, Shigdolom in Agdola. Or maybe it's the youngest daughter of the older set who is older than the two younger daughters. Right? So the Gemara says, right? Kulon asuros. True is, we're all saying, everyone is also. Right, everyone is aser, meaning everyone is safek mikudashas. Chutz miktanos shebiktanos. We'll say the only girl who's not under the kind of the specter or the cloud of being safek mikudashas is the youngest of the youngest. Right, because we'll say essentially every other daughter in this mix could potentially be called a gidola. Tiv Rebbe Meir. So Rebbe Meir's case. So we'll say. So what do you see from here? So you see from here that halacha lemaisa this is a kiddushin shem misrul nabiya. But even though it's kiddushin shem misrul nabiya, we'll say what's the halacha? All of them are safek mikudashas. Supports abayi kasha and rabba. Hakama askinan. What's the case over here? Kishehukru lubasof nisarvu. Rabba said the case is where at first he knew ultimately again which daughter he was mekadesh, but then he got mixed up afterwards. Dekanami diktani. Eini yodea. He says, now I don't remember. Velokatani ein yadua. It doesn't say I never knew. It just says I don't know now. Shmamina, that once upon a time he knew. So we'll say at the moment of Kiddushin, there was absolute clarity. Right? At the moment of Kiddushin, there was clarity. Then ultimately, again, the ambiguity set in. Okay, so that's a different case. Yachi mai lememro. So we'll say if that's the case, then I don't understand what is there to say. That's an obvious case then. I will say here, see, remember, this is not a case of Kiddushin Shein Misru Labia. We'll say, why isn't it a case of Kiddushin Shein Misru Labia? Why not? Why not? Because he knew explicitly which daughter was Makadish. This is now a confusion case. So this is now, Reuven was Makadish's daughter. Right now, again, and it was clear at the time of Kiddushin that one of them was Mikudeshas. Now he just doesn't know which one. Ihachi Maila Memra, if that's the case, so what, I don't know what's Kiddush in this case. Lafogim with Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, Rosa, listen to this. Damar, Lamachis Inish Nafshe Lesveka. Right, Rabbi Yossi says, a person ultimately, again, doesn't allow himself to go ahead and enter into Safek. In other words, Rosa, what does that mean? Rabbi Yossi will say that if a man said, I was Makadish, my oldest daughter, what does oldest daughter mean? Oldest daughter means oldest of the oldest. People don't say ambiguous things or allow themselves to enter into the world of Safek. That's what I'll say. This comes to exclude Rabbi Yossi's position. Because Rabbi Yossi will say, in this case, Rabbi Yossi, where a man says, I married off my oldest daughter, but now I don't remember which one. You do remember which one. It's the oldest of the oldest. That's how you frame it. Kamash Malah, the Gemara says, we learn from here that we reject this position. Demachis Inish Nafshe L'Sveika. Rabbi Yossi, people do allow themselves to enter into Safek. Right, so we'll say, look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, So Kamash Malan, that people do ambiguous things. So we'll say, isn't that incredible? Another Musar Haskil. We'll say, while it would be beautiful to think that we never enter into the realm of Safek, of doubt or ambiguity in life, Kamash Malan, Machis Inish Nafshe L'Sveika. So we'll say, Rabbi Yossi says, a person, even if you look at the Lashon, we'll say, Lashon is so beautiful. Damar lo machis inish nafshe l'sveik. Okay, so Rabbi Yossi is saying is halachic. Rabbi Yossi is saying a person doesn't put himself into legal doubt, right? And therefore, if he's mekadesh his oldest daughter means oldest daughter, no safek, right? So let's say kamash malon. No, people sometimes do enter into doubtful situations and do use ambiguous writing. Rabbi Yossi, on a hashkafic level, the statement is so profound. Rabbi Yossi says, a person would never ever chas shalom put their soul nafshe, right? Lamachis inish nafshe l'sveika. Of course, a person only makes informed decisions in life and never does things that are spiritually ambiguous. I will say kamash malon machis inish nafshe l'sveika. Every day, I will say we do questionable things. Every day, we place our neshamas, we place our nefashas into safek. I will say, unfortunately, that is the nature of the human condition. But of course, I will say, what's the goal? The goal is to avoid safek. The goal is that when I make decisions in life, my decisions should be clear. I should make my decisions with clarity. And I shouldn't execute on those decisions, ultimately, again, until I have clarity of soul or clarity of neshama to be able to know that I'm going down the right direction. I further will say, stop over here for today. We're not finished, by the way. I kind of jumped the gun a little bit. But Emirat Hashem, we're going to see the machlokes of Kiddushin Mesur and Labia. Machlokes Abai and Rava is going to be an ongoing machlokes. We'll continue it tomorrow. I will say, shkoyach.